This is a really important component because your gut environment, what that gut environment looks like, is critically important for which microbes end up being predominant in your gut microbiome. Oxygen regulation is really important in the gut, right? So the vast majority of your gut is going to be anaerobic, meaning there's no oxygen. And that anaerobic part of your gut is critical for all of these keystone species because most of those keystone species are anaerobic bacteria. And so you want adequate butyrate, for example, because butyrate reduces oxygen levels in the colon and maintains a low oxygen environment for those keystone species. So again, here's another function of butyrate. This one compound that's being produced by the beneficial microbes in the microbiome by breaking down fiber and resistant starches does all of these things, including regulating the gas environment of the bowel to reduce the growth of pathogens and increase the growth of beneficial bacteria. Right? Your gut microbiome also releases things called hypoxia-inducible factors. Hypoxia is the absence of oxygen, and this increases oxygen uptake by the intestinal epithelial cells. So the lining of the gut cells start eating up all of the oxygen. Right? That again removes the oxygen from the environment and favors the growth of the good beneficial bacteria rather than potential pathogens. Dysbiosis is associated, and there's just a little spelling error there if you don't just to point it out. Dysbiosis is associated with increased oxygen levels in the large intestine, and that can lead to conditions like IBD because an increased oxygen levels means lower keystone species and higher risk for pathobionts or pathogens. And inflammation from dysbiosis also then contributes to the increased growth of these pathogens itself. And then, of course, the lining of the gut barrier, the proteins that make up the tight junctions, those are all microbiome dependent as well, and the microbes regulate the expression of those tight junction proteins. Then we look at the pH balance, right? So lactic acid being produced by lactic acid bacteria is a key component of acidifying the gut. And then some of that lactic acid is then metabolized into short chain fatty acids. So remember, they're called short chain fatty acids, and they continue to acidify the gut, creating an acidic environment, which is good for the beneficial bacteria and bad for pathogens and harmful bacteria and bad for mold and fungus and so on. So the pH balance is also a critical part. And then the beneficial microbes also control the presence and overgrowth of potential pathogens and toxin and the accumulation of toxins because a good, well-balanced, diversified microbiome controls the growth of pathogens and then metabolizes a lot of the toxins to reduce their impact on the liver and the body in general. We know the microbiome also controls hormones. Well, there's a couple opportunities for deeper dives into this, but know that estrogen, for example, your stress hormones are regulated and filtered through the microbiome for getting this sent out of the body, getting inactivated. We call it conjugation, and then excreted from the body. That is the job of the liver, but the excretion part is the job of the microbiome. But if you have too much of certain bacteria that make up a constellation of microbes called estrobilome, those microbes can reactivate the estrogen and cause you to reabsorb it, which then puts you in estrogen dominance, right? So a dysbiotic gut can lead to estrogen dominance and a dysregulation of estrogen balance in the body. Same thing with cortisol regulation. Microbes can either increase cortisol response when you experience a stressor or decrease cortisol response when you experience a stressor. You want the microbes that help decrease the cortisol response. In this case, psychobiotics play a really important role. Metabolic hormones like insulin are, of course, affected by short chain fatty acids and GLP-1. We talked about that. Thyroid hormone is really regulated by your gut microbiome. So the activation of thyroid hormone is dependent on microbiome. Your microbiome is the key activator of the thyroid hormone. Without it, you end up with inactive thyroid hormone, you end up with hyperthyroidism. Hormone detoxification, the getting rid and removal of hormones, and then of course all the metabolic hormones we've already talked about, GLP-1, PYY, ghrelin, leptin, all of those are controlled by the presence of the microbiome. So sex hormones, adrenals, metabolic hormones, all of those are controlled by the gut microbiome. Detoxification is also controlled by the gut microbiome because remember, everything that enters your body generally enters through the mucosa first, that huge 4,000 square feet of surface area we talked about. the mucosa is where the microbes live. So things that enter through the body, through the mucosa, which may be toxigenic, are first taken care of by the microbiome. The microbiome has a capability of biotransformation of molecules, neutralizing them, breaking them down, metabolizing them, so that not all of the toxicity that enters your body ends up in the liver, which then it becomes the liver's job to deal with the toxicity. Now, more and more dysbiosis means that your microbiome is not helping your body detoxify, which means your liver is undergoing a higher degree of toxicity. And this is one of the reasons why we see an increased prevalence of non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, right? Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease is simply the liver undergoing too much toxicity, and there being a problem with the liver trying to protect itself as a result of undergoing so much toxicity. And on top of a dysbiotic gut not metabolizing toxins and putting all of the brunt on the liver, on top of that, a dysfunctional gut microbiome is also allowing the gut to be leaky, which means LPS that's leaking through is also going to the liver, creating more toxicity in the liver, right? So the liver gets kind of a double whammy when the gut is dysbiotic and not functioning properly in the context of detox. So then this is where you get fatty liver disease, you get increase in triglycerides, you get a smaller bile acid pool, you get overgrowth of bacteria in the small bowel, you get all kinds of problems because the liver is one of those unsung heroes that's doing all kinds of amazing things, but not getting all the credit and not getting all the attention it should. Right, so a healthy gut microbiome can absolutely protect the liver and even start to re reverse some of the damage that the liver is already experiencing. And this is the detoxification connection, right? So the biotransformation of xenobiotics, all of these environmental chemicals, Bacillus spores, for example, can degrade mycotoxins and glyphosate. The microbiome plays a role in that metabolization and detoxification process to clear things like hormones and other metabolites in the body, reduce LPS. And of course, a healthy microbiome doesn't allow LPS to really migrate through, and can neutralize LPS in the mucosa itself. And of course, the metabolization through bile acid formation and so on, reduces and removes fat-soluble toxins from the system.